Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
Gigi, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Lori, Miss
Hi.
Bonnie, and Christopher. Hi, everybody listening out there. I have two things I would like to say, and I will preface it once again. They are just my personal opinions. People listening, as well as all three hosts, are free to disagree with me. Hold on, please. Pardon me for coughing in everyone's ear. Number one, I have a big problem with the Biden administration not speaking verbally, publicly about the American hostages being held somewhere in Gaza, if they are all in Gaza. I haven't heard one damn thing, and I don't understand why nothing publicly is being said, not just Israelis are being held hostage. Secondly, I have a big problem, and I am no lover of President Donald J. Trump. However, because I do believe strongly in constitutional issues, I feel very strongly that this African-American district attorney female that the Georgia appellate court is currently reviewing, should she be removed from prosecuting him? I feel yes, because she should have known better professionally and personally than to have a sexual liaison with someone involved in the case.
Well,
don't sleep with somebody that you're working with or could be a conflict of interest. That's just this lady's opinion.
Was she a judge? Sorry, I missed if you said she was a judge or a prosecutor.
No, she prosecutor. Is the district attorney, an African-American female, very attractive, very articulate, very well-educated, but that don't matter. Sleep with someone who ain't involved in the case. Conflict of interest is a serious issue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It don't look good.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound fair. I'm not even sure which
exactly.
Trump.
Exactly. You hit the word on the spot, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look fair, impartial, objective. You hit it on. That's correct.
And the first thing you brought up, you said that right now the world is talking all about the Israeli hostages, but not.
No, they're not.
Oh, opposite.
The world is talking about Israel invading on the ground and with airstrikes further south in the city of Rafah,
yeah,
in the south area, the southern part of Gaza. However, there are still many American citizens that are being held hostage, that were taken hostage back on October 7 by Hamas. I haven't heard Blinken or Sullivan or President Biden or anybody in his military advisory staff saying anything about American hostages. All I hear is we're going to withhold weapons and military supplies and ammunition and technology for military purposes, for offensive purposes, but we will be there, whole support, wholeheartedly. We won't abandon Israel for defensive purposes.
Right.
I want to hear about my fellow countrymen that are being held hostage. I want to hear somebody from my government say something. I am grossly outraged.
Well, you shouldn't call a talk show then, because Bonnie, are you with the government?
Live.
Oh, yeah. Well, she does he likes to get, like, her opinions out. Maybe more people will hear about
and
it.
And I understand
opinion,
that.
Chris,
I'm just joking.
But I love Free Talk Live because the premise is and continues to be people are free to express his or her opinion. I love that about this program.
Well, would there be any chance you would maybe write a letter to someone? Well, the thing is, like, I would say that, but then again, Do I think that they will listen to you?
Of course not.
I just don't think politicians listen to people writing them letters, honestly.
I agree, but I did what you asked. I've done it on the federal level and the state level.
Excellent.
However, who listens, right? Who reads?
Yeah, this is particularly tough because if you want to hear people in the U.S. government say all the things you just said you wanted to say, you just have to go back to like October 10th because everybody was talking about anything for Israel. Absolutely anything they need, we have an obligation to give it to them.
This from yahoonews.com, or I guess it's like Yahoo brings all these things together, but it's from the Los Angeles Times.
So, exactly. Sorry. Somebody in their aggregator.
It says, opinion, how robots making your burgers and fries can lead to greater income inequality.
No.
And I don't believe that title. I haven't even read the article, but I just wanted to see what silliness they bring up here. They said on April 1st, more than 500,000 fast food workers in California got a raise, with minimum wage across the sector bumped up to $20 per hour.
Because that's realistic.
Where? California?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's $20 an hour for the minimum wage to flip burgers?
Flip burgers, yep. Yeah.
To like stand at the Walmart store and be like, can I see your receipt?
You don't
you
even
get $20?
Need,
yep.
You don't even
what?
Need a PhD in burger flipping. You just need to be able to flip the burger.
Wow.
$20.
Okay. Yeah, it's asinine.
It says that same week, the self-proclaimed world's first fully autonomous restaurant opened its doors. Wow. In
Surprise.
Pasadena. What a funny coincidence.
We didn't see that happening. I thought they'd just take that $20 and, you know, we're going to require. The thing that I hate about it is it increases the cost across the board. Mm-hmm. The business pays it. The business is not going to be able to be profitable. The consumers pay it in so many ways. The cost of their meal is going to go up, and their cost of their choice. I mean, they're not going to be new fast food restaurants springing up in California.
Hmm.
That's just not going to happen.
Well,
and
the employees pay it because most of them aren't going to have a job anymore.
Right.
They're going to replace them, or they're not going to replace them and just make the people who work there cover more of the work.
No, they're going to get robots.
Or get robots.
Yeah.
But until the robots come, the people who work there are going to have to shoulder the load of three or four jobs because they're not going to employ more people for $20 an hour.
Hmm.
And it's interesting. I don't know what the average fast food worker made before this, because that is an expensive economy anyway. And I know just here in Keene, in New Hampshire, we have no state minimum wage, so we fall under the federal $7.25 per hour. I know that I could never hire anyone in my business for $7.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Even though I own the business, therefore I make less than $7.25 an hour. But
hiring like a college kid without a degree,
yeah.
High schooler even, and probably can't.
There were so many college kids we talked to interviewing that, you know, they're like, what do you pay? I'm like, well, it's going to be in the neighborhood of, say, $12 an hour. They're like, I don't know about that.
Wow. When I was looking for jobs in 2018, $12 an hour was like, wow, that would be great. Like, I applied for a hotel job. I had worked 3+ years in hotel, like front desk, checking people in stuff, not like housekeeping. And I was like, oh, I'll just go get a job when I moved to Texas. So I did that in Utah, moved to Texas. They were paying $9 an hour. And I just like, it was so hard to get any job at all. But the same job that I was getting like $13 an hour on a military base, because it was like remote and stuff like that.
Right.
Was paying $9 an hour in everywhere in San Antonio. And it was just like, I wasn't even getting past the interviews when I knew exactly how to do these stupid jobs.
Right.
And it's just so much has happened since COVID. So that was 2018.
I've worked in a convenience store and it's ridiculously easy.
It's
a very easy job. It's
I can do it.
No, yeah, I think anyone
right.
could probably, but nobody needs.
You'd be surprised by
$20 an hour to do that job.
Yeah,
the amount of laziness some people.
Well, and that's
well,
where
okay, yeah, that's true.
Skill doesn't really come into it, but in this case, I mean, I have to pay $12 an hour because otherwise I cannot attract people.
Right.
When you have fast food restaurants down the street paying $15, $18 an hour. Now, this isn't California, but it's insane that those kinds of jobs do demand those kinds of wages just because nobody will do them.
Nobody wants to work at all, so if they could sit at home and make even like $10 an hour, they don't want to go work for 11. It says that, so yeah, the world's first fully autonomous restaurant, which is a funny word. It sounds like you control your own body. Restaurant, you control your own building. Autonomous restaurant. It opened its doors in Pasadena. These two stories have received considerable media attention, typically presented as fundamentally linked. Fast food franchise owners are struggling to stay afloat amid rising labor costs, leading many to consider automation as the only viable solution. But this simple depiction of cause and effect paints a picture of innovation and inevitability that sells the public on a fanciful myth. I really don't think he's right.
And as all of these people are replaced by robots, their income will go to zero.
Hmm.
That is an inequality.
Yeah, but then
a dramatic
get
one.
A different job, right?
Yes.
Like not functioning, repairing the robots or something.
They will, but pretty soon the state of California will require the people who repair, or let's just say just clean the robots.
Mm-hmm.
They have to polish the robots. Those people need to make $75 an hour.
And need to have gone to a school for 4 years.
No. They'll say anybody can do this job, but because you have no skill, you deserve $75 an hour. That's going to be the logic.
Well, but then they'll just make robot polishing robots.
They will.
Yeah.
But somebody has to polish the robot polisher.
Just robots. Yeah, robots all the way down.
All the way down.
Yeah.
It says that there were these two stories that came out at once there in California, that fast food workers got a raise by the fact that the minimum wage across the sector, so I don't know why it just says fast food workers, but minimum wage went up to $20 per hour in California. And the same week that happened, the self-proclaimed world's first fully autonomous restaurant opened up its doors in Pasadena, California.
Yeah.
So this guy is saying that people keep bringing these two things up like they're related. But in reality, in his mind, this simple depiction of cause and effect paints a picture of innovation and inevitability that sells the public on a fanciful myth.
No, it's not a myth. Automation is designed to reduce, in most cases, designed to reduce labor costs. That's your goal. And if you make labor more expensive, entrepreneurs are going to come up with ways of getting around that through whatever means is necessary. And sorry.
That's exactly the point that the reason I brought this article in. I didn't even read it. I just knew he was going to be wrong because it's so obvious that robots obviously are going to come in every time you raise the minimum wage.
Also, the people who are like, oh, raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour, don't understand anything about economics.
No.
If you raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour, then the person who runs the business needs to pay more people, and then they have less money, and so they need to raise their prices, and then the landlord's also going to raise. But like everything is going to go up so that your $20 is worth what your $7 was worth before.
Except
it doesn't make any...
Except half this money comes from the federal government, which prints money, which makes your money worth even less.
Oh, yes, it's worth even less.
Yeah, it's I don't like to be overly dramatic, but I kind of get the feeling that the U.S. is in a death spiral.
Yeah.
Is death spiral something that's okay to say on the air, Bonnie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if something Gigi said was. I kind of like thought about it for too many seconds and I was like, it's too late to dump now what Gigi said. But
I think she used GD.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you could say that.
I don't think.
I think you can. Damn.
I would check check someone on that, but I'm pretty sure you can say.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
Well, I feel like you were making a point before I said that. Oh, yeah, about the United States being in a death spiral. I definitely think so. Sometimes I think about just like the absolute like, just ridiculousness and an annoyance I would face every single day being a like entry level worker. I didn't know what I wanted to do forever, so I wasn't gonna like just start doing something that I had to commit to for life.
Right,
and I almost did, and then COVID happened, and I didn't get to really go to college. Well, I started, but it was like online, and I quit. It was so weird. It was like I finally decided to go to college, and then suddenly like the whole world shut down. Like I was 24, so it was like a few years after I graduated high school, or like 5 years after I graduated high school. So it was just such, it was kind of good because like I didn't really want to go to school for IT and then go every day to an IT job repairing, you know.
Robots.
Yeah. Or whatever I'd be doing. I didn't really want to do that, but that's what I finally chose because I was like, before that, I was like, I'm just going to like do whatever to get by and decide what I want to do. I'll figure out what I want to do. Never really did, but that whole time was so difficult. If I had a child, I'd just have to be on welfare. And I didn't have a child, so like that's good.
Don't say that, Bonnie. So I deal with Gen Z a lot. And I got to say, 99% are so pleasant and so kind. Every one of them. When they drink, I will say that the males tend to use bro way too much. That bothers me. But it's not a big deal. It's like we have chicken tenders. Bro, they got tendies. I'm like, I kind of get sick of them.
Yeah.
In like I can take them in small doses, the bro thing. But, but yeah, the crotchety older boomers. And I don't think it's just liberal. I think the crotchetiness hits hits liberal and conservative.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking back to working at the Moose Mart, and there were definitely tons of mean older people. I don't remember a young person ever being mean to me. If anything, I get this vibe from everyone in New England that they're less likely to just start talking to you.
Yeah.
So when I first started working at the Moose Mart, I would just start talking to people if they're like waiting in line, and I just basically stopped doing that. Because I'll be like, So do you guys go to the college? And they're like, yeah. And you're just like, okay, never mind. Like,
they're okay with my, as far as New Englanders go, they want a very little amount of chit chat. They expect some, but they don't want too much. If you go beyond that, they just begin to look at you like you're talking too much. I just wanted you to say hi. How was your day?
I definitely can understand being annoyed by, like, somebody stopping you from leaving or something. But, like, otherwise, just having a nice conversation, things that are, I just like to do that. But I also, okay, I can see, like, some amount of, like, just very forced chit-chat is annoying. And just, like, people saying the thing you know they're going to say. Like, one thing I always hated in school was, like, when you're late and then the rest of the day the kids are like, and Bonnie was late, like, for example. Just the things that you know they're gonna say, that they say all the time, and they're like, they keep repeating it. It's like, remember that time that the teacher brought cookies and she dropped one, and then you bring it up all the time and it's very forced.
And Bonnie was late.
And Bonnie was late.
Right.
Well, that definitely, see, that's the thing that always comes to mind because it happened all the time because I was late to school all the time, but and late to classes all the time. And still late to everything all the time. But
you were on time tonight. I was one running late. And I'm embarrassed by that. I don't like to be tardy.
I live here. So if I'm late to Free Talk Live, that'd be pretty bad.
We'd all be late.
I just couldn't make it down the steps.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
And it's been close sometimes. So, well, what we were really talking about wasn't really boomers and Gen Z. We were talking about robots and minimum wage workers.
It's a natural progression.
And there's this opinion piece from the Los Angeles Times where this person is saying that there is no relation between the fact that the minimum wage went up to $20 in California in that same week the first fully autonomous restaurant opened up in Pasadena, California. But I think there is he's even calls it a myth that they're related. He says, I study low-wage industries in Los Angeles County, including the effects of new technology on workers. My research shows how automation does not always lead to greater efficiency and cost-cutting for businesses.
But sometimes it does. Sometimes it absolutely does.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe sometimes it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And a lot of people, so when I was working in IT, I mean, my biggest problem was people go, you know, I got this great idea, this new program. It's going to be great. We're going to design it. It's going to work perfect. My first question was always, have you done this on paper? Have you actually done this task you want to automate? Do you have the workflow mapped out the way it works? And can you give that to a developer? So he can replicate the steps and make it more efficient. But more often than not, people just come up with this brilliant idea and they say, before we try to figure out how it could work, let's just try to automate it. And doing that, if you automate a bad process, you make the bad process more inefficient. It makes your business more efficient because you've just created a newer, faster way to screw things up.
Just guessing what a robot can do seems like a bad idea. Sarah from New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind, Sarah?
Oh, thanks for taking my call so fast. I just wanted to say that I think New Mexico was ranked the sixth in the nation for one of the highest insurance rates for the cars.
Well, it sounds like everybody in New Mexico is getting hit by cars or driving off the road or flying off bridges or something. So it's
drunk driving.
Probably because of that.
All of those, all in the same day.
All at the same time. So probably why.
The whole thing is that I hope that these people realize that everybody has to have their insurance car rate bumped up because of other people's behavior. I guess it's a collective behavior. But I was told that you could actually volunteer to have like a monitor box installed in your car and the software to monitor your driving.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. And you'll get a cut on your car insurance rates if you do put Big Brother inside your automobile.
Well, yeah, the more you incentivize people just letting themselves be spied on, the easier it is to spy on them.
That's a good point.
Well, why are they doing that? Because the car people, if they could monitor you, that you'll be a better driver. That's what they're assuming. And so they're just offering you an automatic discount, right?
They're offering you a discount in return for you having a verifiable way to prove that you drive safely. And I kind of get that. I'm not really opposed. I am opposed to the government having access to all my cell phone location and speed data. I have a problem with that. But a private company like an insurance company providing a service, if they come up with a more accurate way of analyzing which are the safe drivers and which are the dangerous drivers, that in the end rewards people who do behave better. And insurance is about risk, right?
I guess.
Yeah, so how much discount do they give you if you volunteer to have you guys been offered this? How much like do they give you 3% discount? I mean, no, it has to be a big enough incentive.
Yeah, I think it was like 10% on some ad that I saw. I know Allstate has that, and a couple of the bigger insurance companies have programs.
Insurance
10%?
Is a scam.
I mean, what did you want to say? Hey, stick that thing. I mean, that's saving you money, unless you're going to speed and run red lights and all that.
Sarah, do you have any problem with the government spying on you and knowing what you're up to?
Not really. I don't really have much of a problem with the government doing it. I mean, and this is actually voluntary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
I don't mind having government spying on you if it's necessary.
It's never necessary.
You know, like red light cameras. You know.
Exactly. I think that's not necessary.
It's never necessary.
I mean, in my perspective. But I also wanted to mention that the cars have these black boxes automatically installed in certain model cars.
I've heard of this. I don't exactly know what it means, and I don't like it. I know it's a bad thing.
Well, you know how, like, there's a plane crash or a shipwreck, and then they figure out how fast they were going before it crashed, or how fast they were falling. But they have this higher, like, the more expensive cars have an automatic black box installed into their cars.
Yeah.
That's because you buy that model of car, it comes with it automatically.
Well, that's the incentive to the auto manufacturer. They can say, well, in this accident, you can clearly see that they were speeding or that they took that corner too fast and they pulled too many G's and that contributed to whatever it is. It's absolutely not our fault. That's what they're out to do. To have a way to be able to prove that. I get that.
Yeah, and the insurance company is going to incentivize you having your information available to them, because if you do get into an accident, they could say, you were going 5 miles over the speed limit.
Right.
You're denied. We're not paying your claim because insurance is a scam.
Yeah.
Well, the black box things, I think it's something that's built in cars nowadays, and people...
Are you serious? Wait a minute, is it in all of the cars or all the expensive cars?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
I have heard a little bit about this, kind of forgot it was a thing at all, and it's something that people will say, like, oh, I don't want one of the newer cars because they have all this gear in it to spy on you, like the black box, apparently, and that's what it's called, but I don't know what that means at all. I guess we don't have anybody on the show tonight like Matt who knows everything about cars.
Right.
Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Siberia.
Oh, okay. What about Siberia?
So it's Dave. It's Ridley in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And I have, I don't know if you guys may have already reported this, but I just learned yesterday that there was actually a referendum in Siberia on independence.
No, I didn't really hear about that at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
This actually happened in 2023. And it was not official. It was illegal. It was done online. And I guess 6 million people voted.
So what was the result?
They were trying to vote on independence from Russia. And it was, I guess, I was a little vague on the results. It seemed like they were giving them out province by province. But it looked like it was about 2-1 in favor of independence. But, of course, it's not scientific.
So what did the government do? Did it all send them home? Like send you to Siberia if you get in trouble?
So I think one of the things that's driving it is I heard on this broadcast that there's much higher casualties among Siberians than there are among people who are from places like Moscow, like dramatically higher is what they were claiming, 15 times the casualty rate. So that may have been one of the things that drove it, if that's true.
Interesting.
And of course they are getting drafted, and sent, you know, all the way across the continent to go be killed by Ukrainians.
I'm sure people in Moscow are more likely to have a friend of a friend who works for somebody who used to be in the Politburo. And if you're in Siberia, you don't.
So Siberia is kind of, wow, Russia is so huge. Okay. I never really knew exactly where Siberia was. Like, if you're centering Siberia, it's still a bit east of center for Russia, and it's just so huge. That's all the way up, like, north of East China, and Ukraine, you know, has all of Kazakhstan, all of the Middle East in between that, if you're talking left to right, longitude. That's a lot of area that they're getting sent away to go die in Ukraine. Sucks so bad. I never really thought about where Siberia was. I just knew it meant like out in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, it is.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
60 Minutes was out there a while back doing a documentary about the coldest town. I think it's the coldest, something like the coldest town on Earth or something like that. On the way there, they just mentioned in passing, okay, so the road that we're on right now, like the bones of the people who made the road are like, they're right underneath us here. It was a death per, one death per meter.
Yeah. And they had gulags in Siberia. That was in all the prison camps and all that stuff. They just sent them to the coldest hell on Earth.
Yep. I'm looking at where Poland is. The other day, somebody who is an American, but Polish, was telling me that his great grandpa in the 40s just like skipped one party meeting with his friends to like stay at home and be like, hey, this is actually, we don't like this. This is really bad tier. And then he got sent to Siberia for 15 years. And then the war was like over and he made it home and died like very soon after.
Wow.
Like he only hanged on, I guess you'd say, until he made it home. And then it like had destroyed his body, I guess.
And his crime was not going to the meeting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mandatory.
These are the kinds of things that, the present Russian government is a little better than the Stalinist government, but these are the kinds of things that Russians have done to Siberians. And see, you can imagine when the dam breaks, it's going to break hard. But, you know, this is one thing as independence activists, you know, people are always complaining, well, if you're trying to, you know, make New Hampshire independent from the United States, doesn't that weaken the United States? Well, you know, my answer to that is that we need to weaken all the states, all of the nation states in the world, make them all smaller. And this is what I can do to help support the Russian freedom, the ability to leave Russia.
I think that's a good point. You know, people have, you know, people will talk about, you know, independence in the United States of, you know, like Texas and California's had some referendums, and you guys are talking about it in New Hampshire of all places. It's like you're missing the point. Regardless of where you are anywhere in on Earth, I believe you will be better off without a controlling centralized government that oppresses your rights. That's not a statement that's only for Americans or only for Siberians. It's anywhere. You know, I am the youngest person in the studio. I am younger than Bonnie. I'm younger than Lawyer. I'm younger than Riley. I mean, I'm 17 years old.
Why are they just assuming
things about you? Right. I'm 17 years old. There, I said it. I'm sorry.
He's only 17 years old, and he's an entrepreneur, and we are all very proud of him. And he's stopped himself from saying, bruh. He got it surgically removed from his voice box.
Oh, my God.
Bruh. Anyways, bruh, we're going to talk about the Wall Street Journal. They have this, it's kind of a related article. It says, why it's hard to get hired despite glowing job reports. And the actual print title said something like, people searching for jobs feel like they're being lied to about this, like, really good job economy right now. And I think it's great when people are starting to realize they might be being lied to. Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
So it's hard to get hired right now despite glowing job reports. Job seekers say getting hired is deceptively hard, and recruiters agree that qualified candidates are often passed over. The monthly jobs report out Friday will probably look great if recent months are any indication. Yet plenty of workers have rarely, if ever, felt more stuck. I hear from a lot of white... I just don't really get this, though. Like, it just seems like there's so many jobs out there.
Right.
So people are saying they can't get hired right now.
And businesses are saying they can't get work.
It seemed so much harder to me before COVID.
Somebody's not telling the truth. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, or a good point. Aria used to always point this out. She was like, there are supposedly all these people that say they can't get a job, and there are supposedly all these people saying they can't hire anyone. Maybe some employees are just saying, oh, well, we can't find anyone to hire, so they can check off some box and get, you know, like they have a
right
position they can't fill, allegedly. Maybe there's some tax thing they're checking off. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are, and this is what people forget. Jobs come with requirements. There are a certain set of skills that are necessary for any job. So if you happen to be in a town where all the factories are trying to come back in and they can't find any machinists or operators with any experience, then, yeah, it might be a very tight job market until the jobs and the businesses that are offering jobs reach equilibrium and those people become employable.
Hmm.
That's...
They might have to train people or pay people to go get
some sort of class. And sometimes it's worth it for a business to provide all that training just because they can't get anybody else.
Well, they say they can't get anybody also, but like, so Stu was a machinist for like 13 years.
Okay.
And recently he was looking at machine shops and they're hiring for like $16 an hour. He's like, there's no way.
Because isn't that really low? Yeah, to be in a factory?
That's way too, like, that's not enough money to pay anybody with actual skills to do the job.
I'm surprised it's not like inflated from the past, because that feels like that's about what I was hearing about people in this factory in Magna, I think it's called, Utah. But I was like, wow, you're getting $16 an hour? And that was 2017 or something. So I'm surprised it hasn't, like, it's not like $25
an hour.
Like,
you can get
people
that you have to train at that price.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get anybody, like, they want people with already having the skills and the knowledge and the certifications and all of that. You're not going to get that.
You can work at McDonald's for $16
right.
an hour.
Yeah.
So
that's weird.
When I was working in, like, corporate, I mean, people with ridiculously high skills could travel, relocate, and get any kind of money you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to travel and live where the jobs that pay lots of money are, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in a market.
Do you want to go live in, like, Wyoming, though, you know?
Well, that's the point. And but sometimes people don't think about, you know, what jobs are actually available in a given area and how mm-hmm. much competition is for that particular job. If there's lots of competition for a job, then the employers don't have to pay
mm-hmm.
that much. And it's not going to be. And I think about this area, and I'm thinking about machine shops and stuff like that. It seems to me like I see more machine shops in this area than I've ever seen anywhere else I've ever lived, because this was, going back, you know, a manufacturing kind of area.
They have a lot of hiring signs, too.
Right.
But they're just not paying enough for skilled work.
Yeah, I can understand that, too.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's a big part of the problem with, like, I can't find a job and we can't find workers, is it's not realistic what they're asking and what the person wants to provide.
See, that's exactly
they
what
don't
I was saying
match.
In like when I was talking about 2019, trying to get a job, just like a front desk person as in, like in a hotel, like that's not like something difficult. Like, oh, you need a degree to do that or something. But it's like, I would do a lot of other things for $9 an hour before I did that, because it's like, right, nonstop running across the hotel, getting these people towels and doing this and doing that. And sometimes you actually have to help with like the housekeeping when something crazy happens.
Right.
Like, it's a demanding job. $9 an hour is not enough.
Mm-hmm. And like sitting in a lobby by yourself at night when anyone can come in and do
yeah,
whatever.
That's, yeah.
Jobs like that creep me out. Like
that's
working alone overnight.
Dan O'Neill, you're in New Jersey, right, Dan?
Yeah, my name is Dan. I'm calling from New Jersey. Hi, Bonnie. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. So we're having a party on 5/24, and it's an event to raise awareness for political prisoners around the world, especially Ian Freeman, Roger Ver, Ross Ulbricht, Edward Snowden, and Julian Assange. These guys are all in prison around the world, rotting away. They're heroes, every single one of them, on a major level. So the IRS and the DOJ, they just put a lot of charges on these people. And when they go to court, the jurors probably just think, well, they must be bad people. They have 97 charges on them.
Hmm.
So this is kind of what I see. Also, the IRS has no jurisdiction, basically, over anything other than the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., a post office, or a military base.
Yeah, they're bringing IRS, tax charges against Ian and Roger, among those, if not also Ross. I don't remember if Ross had some.
And we're going to have more audits this year.
Hmm.
The IRS says it's going to be great.
Well,
yeah, 87,000 new agents, I think, right?
Yeah, and Biden announced that, you know, we're really going to ramp this up and we're really going to go get these people. But we're only going to look at people, nobody who makes less than $400,000 a year is at risk of an audit, which I don't believe for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm counting the minutes. Like, It'll be seconds after they make that final announcement that we're going live that they violate their own thing.
Oh, yeah.
They'll lie.
So I'm glad that you called in to bring this up. I did want to bring this up tonight, but yes, Dan is putting together parties. So there's the Libertarian Convention, the national one that's happening in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
And he asked them, oh, are you guys doing like an after party? And they weren't, so they gave him the green light to throw a party, and he's making basically the theme political prisoners. So Free Talk Live is sponsoring the event, among some other great companies or whatever, like Bitcoin.com is also sponsoring the event. And he has something called the Hall of Felons that he's got. He just added Roger Ver to, and Ian is on it. And I think it's going to be a great night. I'm going.
Nice.
Yes, it's going to be an awesome night. And to talk about Roger Ver for a second, I think he's in the same jail that John McAfee died in a few years ago.
So, that's terrible.
We know he's in the same country. Yeah, who was it that called in? I think it was last time I was on the show. They were saying that, well, fortunately, he's not in that same jail. But
so that was Aaron Day said
yes,
that he wasn't. But then I've seen online a couple times that he is, but I haven't gotten it like verified. I've just been hearing people say that.
I don't think it matters if you're in jail in Spain waiting extradition to the United States. It's it's not a good thing.
Hmm.
We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, if the same government people are going to be in charge of the prison.
That is true. And also at this event, everybody there is going to get Bitcoin.
Nice.
We're gonna try to get every activist in the whole country to learn to use peer-to-peer money, and let's create a counter economy, and let's get this going and more across the whole country and around the world.
That's exciting. That's a really cool feature of this party, to get crypto in everybody's hands. There, going to go around talking to people about it. Then,
nice.
Definitely. And I just want to thank Free Talk Live and Ian for, you know, really just anchoring this whole event, getting us going. And I just want to say thank you to you guys. And you guys have always been, like, you know, the best radio show in the whole. God, I think I've been listening to you guys since about 2012.
Wow.
And back then, you guys were pretty much the only radio station that I can remember other than Roger Paxton.
Property ownership is a lie. Anyway, you're renting that from the government.
Unfortunately.
If you don't pay your taxes, they'll come and take it from you. If you build the wrong thing, they'll come and take it from you. Like, anything that you do on your land, you need to get permission from the government, or they're going to come,
Lori,
guns blazing, to take it from you.
I have to do
you'll
is
own
I,
nothing,
I,
and you'll like it.
I'll like it. I'll get an allodial title to my land, and then I will be the absolute owner.
Oh, yes.
Have and you ever heard this?
No, but anyone who claims, I'll get this and I'll get that, and then no one can tell me what to do, show me. Show me that you do that.
That's what I say. Allodial title is supposedly a legal thing that you could convert your title into, like, you own your land and no one else has claim to it. Therefore, you don't ever have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And every time they say that, well, you don't have to pay taxes.
But then you don't own, quotation, heavy on the air quotes, own that anymore because they come and take it.
Right. Mm. And because, that's what happened.
Because apparently when you're born against your will, you have signed a contract to bend your knee to all of the laws that other people have decided for you.
So
go get unborn.
that's the insanity.
Well, you can just leave and you'll have
exactly,
to
just leave.
And then they'll just arrest you for not paying the taxes they decided 20 years later that you didn't pay.
Yep, that's literally
like
what's
Roger
happening.
Roger Ver. Yeah. That's okay.
Just
he
leave.
Didn't pay his exit tax.
No, he did, but they're saying it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough 20 years later.
Not enough.
Or something like that.
That's okay. We'll get it right one of these times.
10 years later.
Yeah.
But it's still
ridiculous. Some ridiculous amount of time later.
Yeah.
It's offensive, and it should make every American sad that they believe in this country. If you still believe that this is the just and free country, the beacon of democracy in the world, I don't know what to tell you. I just feel sorry for you if you still believe that.
Yeah, I have. So when Gigi called earlier and she was like, my people, the people of this area that I just happened to also be born into,
the United States.
Don't understand that, how you don't just feel brotherhood with all people and just the people who happen to live or were born in the place that you were born. It doesn't mean anything to me. I hate lots of people that were born in the same place that I was born, and I think they're terrible people. And then I like a lot of people who were not born here. Like, it doesn't, none of that correlates into anything.
When I think of my people, I think of people who are very close to the people in this room.
Yeah.
The your friends and your family, these are the people I like that share the common beliefs and are fighting for the same things that I want to fight for.
My people that I have built some kind of relationship with.
And that to me is more important than where they were born.
Right.
And the other thing about it is people who think a certain way. Today I was just thinking about the fact that, like, because this grown woman called me immature for having a different opinion than her. It's this whole thing going on because I wrote an article on Freekeen that some people don't like. Well, I was just thinking about how, and she's just like a total normie that is, for some reason, like, it's one of these total normie Republicans that think like, oh yeah, I'm just the same as every other free stater. And you're literally just a normie Republican. You're here because of the COVID stuff, and good. I'm glad that you're anti-vax mandates, but if everything else you do is Republican, I don't want to be in community with you. Like, I wouldn't move to the North to live in Alabama. I would live in Alabama where it's cheaper to live and warm. If I wanted to live among people who their only freedom issue is don't tell me to wear a mask. Okay, well, anyways.
Yeah,
so
I get it.
I was just thinking about the fact that, like, honestly, she's older than me, like, calling me immature, and it's just, like, not, doesn't even affect me at all, because honestly, I do not respect most people, and it's, like, I can't help it. Like, I don't respect most people whenever I walk around, and it's, like, that sounds like, oh, I'm a bad person. I don't mean respect their humanity. I mean, I don't have some sort of, I can't look around, and I'm talking about, like, especially outside of, like, nowhere near any Free Staters, like in a normal city. I'm walking around, it's like everyone older than me is probably stupider than me, probably like crazy, probably on SSRIs and voting for Biden and or Trump, and just like I don't have like common respect for most of these people. But when people put it out on Front Street what their values are and they align with mine, I'm way more able to have just like even just a normal amount of respect for them. And that's why I just can't move anywhere else.
See, Bonnie, as a 17-year-old boy, I try not to stereotype people just because of how old they are.
Wait, what did I say about oldness? Oh, well, I was saying that in a positive way, in a way. Like, that's how I know I'm supposed to feel. Like, oh, I should look up to this person's opinion because she's older than me and she's trying to use that card.
And like, you should not.
Well, you're just immature.
You should not.
So that's a thing that the older generations used to like to say.
Don't look at me when you say things like that, Lori.
You should respect your elders. But just because you lived a long time doesn't mean you're entitled to any respect.
Right.
There's this law or two laws or two bills. I'm not sure if they actually went in effect or not. But just more proof that Florida is becoming a police state, or actually probably already is a police state. What are these two bills about, Lori?
This is from prospect.org. New laws are turning police into super citizens. A series of legislative and judicial efforts have removed police oversight from oversight boards and communities. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recently signed two bills gutting the informal and formal oversight of the police, Senate Bill 184, the Impending, Threatening, or Harassing First Responders Act, makes it a misdemeanor to stand within 25 feet of the police or other first responders if told to move.
Whoa.
If the purpose is to interfere with, threaten with physical harm, or otherwise harass them, harassment is defined to include substantial emotional distress.
Counts
as distress or who makes that determination is not defined. If they're emotionally distressed.
This is going to end so poorly.
I really hope this doesn't.
So
this hasn't passed
yet. It has been signed.
Whoa.
Yes.
So DeSantis signed it, passed the Senate and the House, and
it's directly targeting like First Amendment auditors.
Yes, if you can't stand within 25 feet, how are you supposed to record them properly?
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. Mm. They're exempt from that.
That could hurt their feelings.
They don't.
Oh, no.
They're the police.
Might not like the way
they don't
look on
do
camera.
Things wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Right. Well, more people need to remember that.
They're above the law.
Well, I didn't say that, did I? Yeah, it's asinine.
And then there's House Bill 601, simply titled Law Enforcement and Correctional Officers. Takes aim at civilian oversight boards, local committees set up by cities to provide outside supervision of police departments. Under the new law, the existing boards would be reestablished and any new ones created under new rules. Each committee can have 3 to 7 members, but one member must be a retired law enforcement officer. Importantly, all members must be appointed by the local sheriff or police chief, so that way they can investigate themselves better.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Please tell me more. It keeps getting better and better.
Both of these bills are designed to make the police more impervious to any meaningful oversight. The anti-oversight intent of the House bill, which requires the police to appoint the civilians who oversee the police, is transparent on its face. It follows moves by Arizona, which in 2021 adopted two laws requiring that police and police-trained civilians make up 67 to 100% of civilian oversight boards, and Tennessee, which gutted local police oversight boards in 2023. The Senate bill's impact may be a little less obvious, but it's still there. 25 feet may not seem like a significant distance, but in a city, it means anyone videotaping the police will likely have to stand across the street and thus behind rows of parked cars and traffic, or so far down the block that officers can form a wall blocking view.
And plus, what are they going to get out? Tape measures?
Probably.
Yeah. No, they're just going to estimate.
They'll just shoot their taser at you, and if it doesn't reach, then you're probably fine.
He says he was 3 blocks away, but when I measured it, he was 19 inches from my face. Mm. Yeah, they're just going to lie. And See, now I like this story, not at all what's in it, but I like the fact that we're having this conversation after beating up on California liberals, talking about minimum wage laws and robots and stuff like that.
Right.
If any of you listening believe that we only want to attack Democrats, no, we want to attack anyone who does stupid stuff in the name of the government. And doing away with oversight of government is a stupid thing. There was a time not long ago when Republicans knew that.
Yeah.
They saw anything else government to be overreach. Right. We have to be accountable. This is so asinine.
Yeah, but then, you know, they are also the ones who... like the police state.
Hmm. Especially with the cop side.
They
like socialism.
They back the blue.
Thin blue line, baby.
Yeah, all of that gross stuff.
You know what Republicans hate? When you tell them that it's also socialism for them to demand that I pay for their protection services. they can't wrap their head around it. No. I'm like, okay, socialist? Me and Chris Wade were like trying to actually explain this to some pro-cop protesters once. We're like, what are you, a socialist? You want me to pay for your protection services? And they were like, I don't need, like, malfunctioning. And this one guy was like, well, you want me to pay for your joints? And I was just like, whispered to Chris, I was like, oh, it's so funny. He thinks you're on welfare and you're nice. Like, you're probably way more successful than him.
What was I? Forget it. I had a thought. It was
sorry.
Quickly gone.
About homeschools?
You know, once you hit 17, you just sort of lose part of your mind.
Or did it, a worm?
Yeah, maybe it was a worm.
It could have been a worm. Mm. Maybe I have a tapeworm in my brain.
There is this disgusting story that RFK had a worm go into his brain and eat part of it. And I'm just like so grossed out by that. I think that he talks really weird. I don't know if he has some kind of actual underlying illness.
He's a Kennedy. They all talk really weird, right?
Well, as it turns out, he did have some problems.
Yeah, if there's something like everyone knows he has cerebral palsy or something, I'm not trying to be mean, but he like talks really weird already.
Yeah, it's a like disjointed sense, and he acts like he has Parkinson's and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This came out in The Hill,
and
a lot of people are reporting on this, but the headline is RFK Jr. had a brain worm. How do you get one, and what are the symptoms?
I do want to know how you get one. I would like to hear, because I don't know how a worm would get in your brain, a tapeworm.
Yeah, and it says in this article that I pulled up that it's a pork tapeworm.
Yeah, so how do you get pork worms in your brain?
Well, you're eating pork, and some of it flies into your brain. It seems simple.
You got your brain open to clean it out, you just spill a little in there.
Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. once had a parasite that caused him brain fog and memory loss. It was revealed Wednesday. Kennedy, now 70, began noticing issues in 2010, complaining of short-term and longer-term memory loss. He was originally concerned he had a brain tumor, and when he got checked out, there was a dark spot visible on brain scans, the New York Times reported. According to a 2012 deposition reviewed by the Times, Kennedy was told by a doctor the spot on the scan, quote, was caused by a worm that got into my brain and ate a portion of it and then died, unquote.
Nope.
At least you were so toxic that it died.
It was the paint chips.
Oh. It was the lead poison.
Is
the
he
worm.
A boomer?
At least 70.
This continues. Oh. How common are parasites in the brain? What causes them? When a person consumes tapeworm eggs, that's when I sit down for a breakfast of sausage and tapeworm eggs, scrambled usually.
Ew.
I like mine over easy.
Usually by eating contaminated food or drinking tainted water, the larva can get into your organs and form cysts. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention explain.
I don't think they're really explaining this in the way that like Lori's asking, because things don't go into your brain or stomach and then get shipped to your brain.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Bear with me. The infection caused by the pork tapeworm, Tanium solium, is called cysticercosis. I'm mispronouncing that. You all know that. If the infection reaches your brain, it's called neurocysticercosis.
Okay, but that's not the infection that was in his brain.
Right.
It was an actual worm.
The egg itself. I assume that it I mean, the blood-brain barrier is a very fine membrane that can filter out almost everything.
But you have dura. So I had brain surgery.
You would know these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had brain surgery, and they had to cut my head open, cut my skull, and go in through the dura, which is a like a layer of membrane that covers your brain.
Like a sack.
Like a sack that holds your brain and all the liquid and stuff in there. So I don't understand how a tapeworm could cross that unless you like snorted it. You have to like snort it or like...
If they ate it, I guess it's... I don't know either.
If you have like pork juice on your hands, could you accidentally like rub your nose and...
I guess.
Or be itching your ear and accidentally... touch your brain.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna be so careful with
I don't know,
raw meats. Not that I actually think you could touch your brain, but just like getting it in your ear sounds plausible.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the long and the short of it is parasitic infections can occur, and some of them I assume affect the nervous system. So there must be some mechanism that it can get across the blood-brain barrier and infect the brain.
But so. It didn't say that it was the egg. It said that it was the part, the dead worm in his brain, correct?
Well, yeah, if the egg got in his brain, then it hatched.
Something good, enough got into his or into his head, or maybe, maybe once somewhere in the head, it began to form and it... Then it crawled into his brain. It
Maybe.
Crawled through.
That makes more sense if it was somewhere in his head it and then like, ate through the dura through to get in his brain.
On
well, wouldn't that just
brains.
Like let out all the water?
No, because you can have a cerebral spinal fluid is what is in your body. You can have a leak and like live.
It
can leak out of you like out of your ear, out of your nose.
Yeah, that's a good
point. And it can close back up.
There was this person in San Antonio at a hospital that I've been to that it was like 2021 maybe because I lived here. They got a COVID test and they have to stick that up in your nose. They ruptured something and spinal fluid, like you're saying, came out of her nose.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a big deal. I heard about it on the news here.
Because I had surgery, like anytime I get like a sinus infection and have like some postnasal drip, I'm like, oh my God, is it CSF? So you can do like a little test though. And if you drop it onto a paper towel, if it's spinal fluid, it will form a halo around it from the proteins in your spinal fluid. And if it's nasal drip, it will not.
And if a worm crawls out of it.
Then you are a Kennedy now.
You're now a Kennedy. That's great. Ask not.
That's so gross. This also says that Kennedy has previously spread health information, including... I thought it said that... Okay, sorry. Before I read this, I thought it said that he previously had mercury poisoning.
I think everyone who's covering this story feels compelled to say, and he's an anti-vaxxer, so...
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.